Hi, and thank you for tuning in to Mormon Channel Daily today. I'm Charlotte Kniep, and we've been talking about fatherhood on our show this month and the impact that they can have on our lives. And one man found an interesting way to honor his father this year. He wrote a book about his life. And this might seem strange unless you're the son of well-known LDS author, speaker, and researcher Truman Madsen. So we have Truman's son and my good friend Barnard here on the phone with us today to discuss this feat that he created for his father. Thank you so much for being here, Barney.
Happy to be here, Sean.
So why did you feel the need to write this book now?
I didn't write it now. It started about 6 years ago. My father died 7 years ago. I put together a chapter outline of what I thought ought to be covered in my dad's biography and sent it to my mom and my sisters. And unbeknownst to me, they talked together and talked to Sherry Dew, and my mom called me and said, "We decided that you're going to write your dad's biography." So it was a joint decision that was not made by me. It was kind of conveyed to me. But I was thrilled because I love my dad, and I was happy to be the one asked to do it.
Do you feel like throughout this process of writing about his life and researching more that you got to know him better?
I thought I knew him pretty well, but I was surprised by some of the things that I learned about what he perceived as failures that, with retrospect, are clear, were guiding him in the path that was chosen for him or that the Lord wanted him to follow. And I was surprised as well that he never, it's not that my mom and dad never planned to go to BYU. They intentionally, affirmatively planned never to go to BYU. and there were three times in his life where he had an opportunity to go someplace else. And because of priesthood counsel or because of a dream and a prayer and multiple prayers, they chose to come back. And so that was surprising to me. That's something that I learned that I hadn't known about him before. And yeah, lots of other things I could share.
So, I mean, Truman had an incredible impact in the LDS community and among LDS scholars. He really affected people's testimonies and their understandings, I think, of church history and the Prophet Joseph Smith in particular. What other qualities do you think that he had that other people might not be aware of?
Well, in a lighter vein, he made the best lemon ice cream, popcorn, scrambled eggs on the planet. one of the things about him is that he was a master at throwing and catching a frisbee. He got a frisbee, a flying disc, when I was a little boy, when he was mission president, and we would play frisbee in the backyard to relieve stress when he was working on the B.H. Roberts biography, and we were on sabbatical. He'd say, "Barn, let's throw the frisbee to kind of unwind." And when we came back to Provo, we went for distance, and we also went for, we used to like to skip the frisbee off the road in front of passing cars. That was one of the ways he liked to relieve stress.
Yeah. What did you learn from him in qualities as a father as you were raising your own family?
So he was raised by a father who had a newborn son. My dad was 2 and his older brother was 4. And extended family, and that father raised him. And he learned, I think, from his dad how to be a man and a father, kind of answering the call of fatherhood, because Axel Madsen, my dad's dad, just gave everything to his boys. They had a motto, "We 4 and no more." And one of the things that Axel did was, it was basically family night every night at the dinner table, and after dinner they'd read out loud, and he would correct their pronunciation, correct their inflection, and just teach them how to speak and how to read well. My dad's 2 brothers became attorneys, and my dad became a college professor. So his love of words came from his father, but it came from reading together out loud every night and just learning to love to read and to be together as a family in doing that. My dad learned the love of music and classical music as well as jazz. He worked at a jazz dance club as a waiter while he was at the University of Utah, and he bought every record that Stan Kenton ever recorded and invited him to come and record an album at BYU. And so he taught us a love of music and of creating the sacred space in our home on Sundays. It was Sunday music. The rest of the week, it could be anything. I mean, loud jazz music. The first sentence that my little sister Mindy spoke, and we could hear it because my dad always had a powerful stereo in our home. Her first sentence was "Turn it down." But on Sundays, it was Rachmaninoff, it was piano concertos, it was sacred choral music, and he let us know that Sunday was a different day, and that music helped to make it that way. And our dinner table conversation, people have asked me over the years, and asked my sisters, what was it like to be Truman Madsen's son? And we've never not been somebody else's son, so we don't really have, or children, we don't have anything to compare it with. But I guess I've since learned that other people's parents weren't talking about stories about Joseph Smith that he had found in deep research in the people's journals, and my mom talking about Isaiah and talking about things. That kind of thing was just typical dinnertime conversation. And also the fact that they would invite a stream of amazing people in our home, scholars and church leaders and others, that just added to our education as a family and the spirit of our home.
And I've been to your home several times for dinner, and there are some amazing conversations that happen, and always interesting people from your family or friends or colleagues that are there. And it's always a great time at the Madsen House. How do you think his life and his work has affected your testimony today?
You know, he writes about, and you talked about the prophet Joseph Smith. He says that for him, Joseph Smith was the clearest window to the Savior, to the living Christ. And a lot of people have studied the window frame and studied the window, but for him, it's that the prophet Joseph Smith was a clear window to the living Christ. And I think in a way that my dad didn't anticipate, he became a clear window to the prophet Joseph Smith. One of the things that he taught, which is sort of counter to what we often teach people, we teach people, read the Book of Mormon, and you'll know that Joseph Smith was a prophet, because only a prophet could have produced that book.
Mm-hmm.
His testimony was that, as he said, he read everything he could get his hands on for about 60 years of his life, all first-hand accounts of the prophet Joseph Smith. And so, you know, President Hubie Brown, when my dad was mission president, pulled the elders aside and said, get close to this man because he knows more about the prophet Joseph Smith than any man alive. Well, that was the 1960s, and by the time he died in 2009, he knew far more than that. And at the last year of his life, when he was asked about the study of the prophet, he said, you know, my testimony is of his character. He said, that's what's being vilified. You go on the internet and people are attacking Joseph Smith's character. The prophecy of Moroni, that his name would be had for good and evil among all nations, has been fulfilled. But he said, I've read the people who knew him the best, who were with him day in and day out. And he said, my paraphrase is that they said he went through the veil spotless and without blame. And he said, so my testimony is of his character, and because I have that testimony, I trust the doctrines that he taught, and I trust what he told us about the Savior and about his attributes, about who he was, who he is, and who he is to be. And so for me, my dad is a clear window to the prophet Joseph Smith, who is a clear window to the living Christ. And that's the core testimony I have, is someone who knew the prophet Joseph Smith as intimately as you could from reading all the first-person accounts that you could read in 60 years of research. I trust his witness of Joseph's character, and therefore I trust Joseph's witness of the living Christ.
That's such a beautiful tribute to him and a beautiful legacy for him to leave behind as well. And just finally, you've mentioned you've learned more about your father throughout this process. Not everyone is going to be able to write a book about their dads. What advice would you give someone who's maybe struggling or wondering how to get closer to and understand their own father more?
I have friends who have a difficult time believing in a loving Heavenly Father because they don't have a loving earthly father, and they haven't had a good relationship with their own father. And I had a spectacular relationship with my dad. So to speak to those who may not have that, the tribute that my dad paid his dad, and the reason I've been able to write my father's biography, is because he kept a record. And what my father did with his father was, my grandfather was an orator from the old school. He wasn't formally trained, but he trained himself, and he won oratorical prizes when they had speech contests back in the day. And my dad got a tape recorder and would take my grandfather to lunch and start the tape recorder and let him tell his stories, ask him questions and let him tell stories and record those. And then he transcribed those and has preserved those as a record in our family. And my dad didn't keep a daily journal. He kept a daily journal on his mission, but he kept journal folders. He would write on a folder, journal 1985, and just start putting things in for that year. And those were scattered throughout his papers. My sister Emily collected them the year before my dad died. So she collected those and put them in chronological order and put them in 12 banker's boxes. That was the size and the dimension of what he had saved as a journal for his posterity. And I was close to my dad when he was alive, but, you know, and there are things since his death and places that bring memories of him, but having gone through his personal writings, his yearning, his written prayers, his expressions of failure and feeling of failure and inadequacy, I think I understand him better and I love him better. And it's all because he kept a record. So I guess I would say two things to people in getting a better relationship with their father. Talk with them and listen to their stories and record their stories if they haven't. And if they have, dive deep and read what they've left to you as your posterity. I'm an attorney, and we talk about our last will and testament, and we focus more on the will of distributing property. We talk less about a testament and leaving our legacy for our posterity of our testimony of what do we know and how do we know it. And if I guess the other suggestion would be, if your father didn't do that, then begin to do that yourself. Leave that legacy for your children, because that is the fruit of the tree that I was able to pick and eat is my dad leaving that record for us. And what a privilege and honor to be the one to go through those personal writings and assemble them and put them in a form that could be published so other people can read his testimony, his life experiences.
That's so wonderful. Thank you again for sharing your thoughts and experiences about writing this wonderful book. And we are going to close today with a quote from Truman Madsen. This is one of my favorite quotes from him. And he said, "To be or not to be, that is not the question. What is the question? The question is not one of being, but of becoming. To become more or not to become more. This is the question faced by each intelligence in our universe." Thank you so much for listening today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.